Let's go to our Bibles and give you something tonight on Thanksgiving, of course. And if you will look, begin with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a passage that with which you are very familiar. Many of you can quote it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tonight what we're going to do is we want to talk about some things that Thanksgiving is. What are some things that Thanksgiving is? What do we do it for? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Lord says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You see that? In everything give thanks. Now, you know what? That's not a suggestion. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, we're in these rapid fire commands the Lord is giving us. He says in verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." 17, "Pray without ceasing." 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit," blah, 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 just running right out like that. So he's laid this out for us, and he says, look, I've got a will for you, and that will is I want you to be thankful. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 20. We just sang, verse 19. Ephesians 5:19 is about singing. We just did that. And verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thessalonians said, in everything give thanks. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things." So in all things and for all things, we're to give thanks. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us with our study tonight. John, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. So what we're going to be looking at is why do we do this? What's the purpose? What is Thanksgiving? And first of all, we can see from these two passages that we've just looked at that Thanksgiving is a fulfillment of God's command. In other words, it is something that He told us to do, and so we do it if for no other reason because He said, "That's what I want you to do." And a lot of times, I remember when I was younger and I got saved, people would be saying at that time, "Well, I wonder what the will of God is for my life." What they were really asking is, "I wonder what the plan of God is for my life." But interestingly, the will of God is something that is very well and very clearly revealed in the Bible. And one aspect of the will of God is, I want you to be thankful. I want you to be thankful. Now, if you've noticed in your own life, when you are thankful, your attitude about the things going on in your life is different than when you're not thankful. It's called the attitude of gratitude. And so you can be the kind of person, if you want to, that wakes up in the morning and go like, "Oh man, I wonder what's going to happen to me today." And you can be a poot head. That's what Ann calls me. If I'm like that. If you want to. And you know what? It doesn't change any of the circumstances. As a matter of fact, it gives you a pretty foul disposition and you pretty much see everything in a foul way. And so even things that aren't really that bad appear bad and things that are bad appear worse. And we've all done it at some point in our lives and it doesn't help anything. Or you can be thankful. In all things, in bad situations, in difficult situations, in affliction, and you can be thankful for all things. Somebody said one time, "You know, my husband broke his leg, and I read in the Bible, in all things, and realized I don't have to be thankful for the broken leg. I can just be thankful while he's going through the broken leg." And I said, "Well, don't forget to read Ephesians 5:20. And you think, "How in the world can I be thanking God for this thing?" But the truth of the matter is, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 does say, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." God will take a bad thing that happens in your life, mix it with the ingredients of other things that He's doing, like His grace, His comfort, His peace, your healing, your recovery over time. He'll take all that, put it together with other things. You'll come out and you know what? You will be a better person. You will be closer to the Lord. You will be more sanctified. You will be you will have a greater appreciation for God, and you can't get through those things unless you're thankful. And so thankful says, you know what? I am trusting you, Lord. I can be thankful here. You told me to be thankful. And I'm not going to run around here like somebody who is overly anxious about all these things. I'm going to simply put this in your hand and be thankful. I got a God in the universe I can talk to about these matters that I know cares and will look after these things. And so he does. I'm reading a book right now. Actually, there's about a half a dozen books that we're reading. We're trying to get boned up on some lessons that we're going to teach you. And this is an area I'm looking for, something that God may have shown other people who are pastors over the years that they've written about that will be a help to us so we can give you the very best that we can as we prepare these lessons on the family. And so this is Raising, this is by Andrew Murray. It was Raising Your Children for Christ. And he said, you know what? He wrote one chapter and it was, what do you do if you've lost a child? I'm talking about to death. What about that? That's a very bitter experience. And in that chapter, among other things, he said, use that as an opportunity to draw closer to God because you're going to be hurting in a great way. Use that as an opportunity to draw closer to God. And something, what you will notice is that in that affliction, the way that the Lord ministers to you, you will know things about God you could have not known in any other way, and He will assuage the tears and bring you into a closer fellowship with Him like you would have never experienced. And I've actually seen people go through that. And the way they can is they can sit there and look, you know what? This isn't exactly how I would have scripted it, but I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful in this. I'm going to be thankful for this. I'm trusting God. So thanksgiving is, first of all, a fulfillment of God's command. That's what He told me to do. That's His will. I'm going to do it. Secondly, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 15. What is thanksgiving for? Why do we do it? First of all, it's a fulfillment of God's commandment. And secondly, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Watch it. So He's talking about praise. He's talking about thanksgiving. He's talking about doing good. In these two verses, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the second reason why we are thankful, not only is it a fulfillment of God's command, but it's also an acceptable sacrifice to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice to God. He knows that it's hard for you to be thankful in those certain circumstances. He knows that it's difficult for you to be thankful for those certain circumstances. But when you can be, He recognizes that as a sacrifice to Him, and it's one that He will accept. If you want to see another verse on this, turn to Psalm 116, Psalm 116, and look at verse 17. I mean, don't you want to do something that God would accept? Don't you want to do something to please God? Sam Gipp, the man for whom we're praying now, dealing with so much physical problem, evangelist, been here, wrote a book on, you know, why we're here, our purpose for existing. And it's to please God. That's what we're here for. We think sometimes that God's there to please us and the way we pray. But he said, no, we're here to please God. And if you want to please God, then do things that are acceptable to Him. This is one of them. Psalm 116, look at verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we're not offering sacrifices anymore like they did in the Old Testament with lambs and bulls and goats and sheep and all that kind of thing. But we still have an opportunity to sacrifice something for the Lord. And what that is this thanksgiving. And it is difficult. It is difficult when you're sick. It is difficult when there's a wayward child. It is difficult when you are facing really dire circumstances in your life. It's difficult when your health is failing. It's difficult when you have wayward kids. It's difficult when there's a hiccup in the job change. It's difficult at that point to say, Lord, I just want to tell you how thankful I am. You know what happens? When you have something bad in your life that happens, and we all have, and if you never have, live longer and you will. It comes to all of us. When you have something bad that happens to you in your life, what happens mentally to you? What happens is this. That thing, that circumstance, that event, that person is magnified to be the biggest thing going on in your life, and everything else is minimized, diminished, and this thing gets big. It really does. You know what this thanksgiving to God does? It magnifies God and it diminishes the problem. And that's what we need. God, at times like that, needs to be big in our lives. We need to recognize, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm grieving, I'm frustrated, whatever the case may be, but putting all that aside, I am thankful. What can you be thankful for? You see, when that problem comes, it magnifies itself to the point that it overshadows all of the goodness of God and all the many things that God has already done in your life that are 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more than this immediate circumstance. If you're not careful in your life, what will happen is you will go from one big thing to the next, and your life will always be chaotic because it's like, man, I just got through this bad situation and boom, look at this bad situation. So you put these two together, the fulfillment of God's commandment and the idea that this is an acceptable sacrifice to God, what happens is when you are offering that sacrifice to God, what are you doing? You're thanking Him. For what? Well, for many other things that He's doing in your life besides this problem. The first part, we've already fulfilled the command of God. Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm thankful for this. Put that aside. Lord, I also want to thank you for my salvation. I want to thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by which I can be sanctified and stand in your presence. I want to thank you for preserving your word so I can actually listen to you each day. I want to thank you for hearing my prayers. I want to thank you for my spouse, my children, you know, my health, my church, my loving pastor. I want to thank you so much for my pastor who feeds us. I want to thank you so much for my pastor who... And pretty soon, what happens is you see in the continuum of your life, there are so many outstanding things that God has been doing for you. And this problem, though it's there and though it's big, it's not overshadowing all these wonderful things that God has done. And therein lies the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's why we do it. Good for us. Really good. And it just keeps all these wonderful things God's doing right out there in front of us. All right, here's another one. Turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and look at verse 48, 49, and 50. 49 is the verse that we want, but we're going to read a little bit of context here. Psalm 18, verse 48, 49, and 50. What's this Thanksgiving thing all about? What's it for? It's a fulfillment of God's commandment. It's acceptable sacrifice to God. Then look at this. Psalm 18, verse 48, 49, and 50. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Now watch it. Therefore, because you've done this, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Notice, he says, because you've done these things for me, in verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Watch the next three words. Where? Where? In verse 49, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, where? Among the heathen. All right, thanksgiving then is also a testimony of God to the heathen. To the heathen. You know, there are a lot of people that you and I know that don't know God. They don't know God because they're not saved, or they don't know God because they've gotten saved, but they thought salvation was an end unto itself. In other words, I've talked to people before and I've said, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. Oh, yeah, what about? Well, I want to talk to you about being born again. about trusting Jesus Christ, your Savior, and they'll say this, I've done that, as if salvation was an end in and to itself, and that that was all that God intended when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Okay, I've done that. Now I'm going to go on with the rest of my life. And that's not what salvation is. Certainly, that's a big part of salvation. But salvation, look at us tonight. What we enjoy in Jesus Christ is this life that we have, this abundant life that we have that just continues to grow. And people who have just trusted Jesus Christ and that's all they know about Him, or people who have never trusted Jesus Christ and they don't know anything about Him, when they hear the testimony of the things God's doing in our life, that is a testimony to them of the goodness of God. And they know it more by our thanksgiving than they do by any other means. When I was young, many of you know my testimony, so I won't tell it again, except to say this. The thing that influenced me to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior was the fact that a young man was giving a testimony and thanking God for helping him in his athletics, helping him with his studies, and being there to answer prayers that he had prayed. And he had a relationship. And he was thankful for those things that Jesus Christ was doing in his life. So I told the chaplain of our school, I don't have a relationship with God like that. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ like that, but I want that. And it all came from the testimony of thanksgiving to God among the heathen. And that was a big part of why I got saved. So I'm thankful. So often we look for ways, don't we, to try to open a conversation with somebody that doesn't know Christ. Like, where do I start? Sometimes you can walk up to him if you think you're on that kind of ground and say, listen, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? I encourage you to consider the context of that question before you ask it. I had a good friend of mine who was very zealous for the Lord. We called him BB. Brother Bailiff, BB. And Brother Bailiff had spent some time in Europe, and when he was there doing some work for the Lord, whatever he encountered was so stressful that literally every hair in his body fell out. He didn't even have nose hair. He didn't have toe hair. Every hair fell out of his body. I've never seen that before or since. But we called him BB. So you can imagine, here's a guy with no eyebrows, no mustache, no nothing on his face, no hair on his head, just slick. He looked like Mr. Clean. I like Mr. Clean had eyebrows. Yeah, he was walking in a neighborhood one night, and he said to another to this guy that was walking on the other side of the street, he said, are you prepared to die tonight? That's not really the way to do this. That guy said, I know the guy that lives in that house and he has a 45. And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. I wanted to know if you wanted to get saved. Oh, man, you just need to learn how to witness to people. Leave me alone. Sometimes we have a hard time figuring out how to get this conversation started. You know something? I have seen this in my own life. A fella told me about a television show that he saw. I was sitting in his office and he was telling me about this television show that he'd seen the night before where a man and his wife adopted a boy who turned out to be a murderer. And it so happens that this boy's father, biological father, was also a murderer. And the point of this story was, is it genetic or is it environmental? How did this boy end up growing up to be a murderer? And they asked the father, the adoptive father, had you known that his biological father was a murderer, would you have adopted him? And he said no. And I said to the man that told me that, I am thankful that God didn't reject me when he wanted to adopt me. Because of my past. That's all I said. I'm so thankful that he didn't reject me because of my past. And he said to me, wow, He said, that's really neat. And that what that did is it opened up an opportunity. The guy got saved that day. I'd been witnessing to him for years. That guy got saved that day, and it all came on the heels of thanking God for something that he had done in my life. So that's a great way. It's a great testimony of God to the heathen. Turn to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. And look at verse 18. Thanksgiving is a fulfillment of God's commandment, acceptable sacrifice to God, a testimony of God to the heathen. It's also a testimony of God to the congregation. Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give thee thanks where? In the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. That's why we have, hey, who came here tonight ready to praise the Lord? Something God's done in your, good in your life. This is why. Last week, and what it is, it's a testimony of God to the congregation. In other words, it's not only a testimony that's given in the presence of the folks so we can say I'm praising God. It's a testimony of God to the congregation. In other words, it's a blessing to hear what God's been doing in your life. Last week when y'all were giving praises, and there were two or three of you that said, I just want to thank God for our church family. And you know, what you were saying is that there are people in this congregation who have been ministering to you either personally or through prayer and encouraging you and saying things to you that have helped you in your walk with the Lord. Let me tell you something. Standing up here and listening to those testimonies, I was thanking God for listening to those for this reason. Because God is using you to minister to each other, which is what the body is supposed to do. I'll tell you what, that just thrilled my soul. I hadn't gotten over it. Every day this week I've been thanking God for you and what you're allowing God to do in your lives to help each other. That's a tremendous thing. Anyway, it's a testimony to me. God's very active in our lives. And we don't just have to come to church to experience that. He's doing things in our lives throughout the week. That's a great thing. I listen to your testimony sometimes, and you say, I prayed about this and God answered that, prayed about this and God answered that. That's an encouragement to me as well, because we pray for you and knowing, hey, God's hearing your prayers, God's hearing our prayers, and He's doing something with it. It's a great testimony of what God's doing. And then finally this, since we're in Psalms, let's go here first. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, look at verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Probably on the next page or one page over, Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know why thanksgiving is good? It's an entrance to God in prayer. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. You know, if your children come to you all the time and every time you see them, all they are doing is hitting you up for something, you know, you'll hide sometimes. But if every time they see you, they say, Mom, I just want to thank you, man. That meal you prepared last night was so good. Oh, by the way. And they ask you, you're not going to be as inclined to hide because they keep thanking you for all this. Thank you. I got up this morning and my slacks were ironed. My shirt was ironed. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you so much. By the way, I have a pair of jeans I need you to iron. It's a little bit easier to take, though, right? When they recognize what you've been doing for them. And God's the same way. So often in prayer, we just want to keep coming and begging, keep coming and begging. He said, enter the presence of God with thanksgiving. It's a great way to begin your prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what are the next two words? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When I was 11 years old, I went down to Mexico, just turned 11. I went down to Mexico City as an exchange student, stayed down there, I think, a month and a half, something like that, 6 weeks. And I can remember my mother grilling it into me over and over and over again. Don't forget to say please and thank you. Don't forget to say please and thank you. Don't forget to say please and thank you. I can hear it like it's something she told me this afternoon. Don't forget to say please and thank you. I make sure I would leave a good impression. Well, what she meant was, may I have a glass of water, please? And then when you give her the water, you say thank you. But I would say, may I have a glass of water, please and thank you? Because she said, don't forget to say please and thank you. But you know something with God, that's exactly how we have a good entrance to Him in prayer, is to always remember to be thankful. It will affect your prayer life. He said so in Philippians. It all starts with a P and I can't even remember where I am. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said that it would. He wants to hear that thanksgiving. We do enter into His presence. Have you ever prayed? Let's say you have a prayer list. Have you ever prayed and it was just like talking to the wall? Come on. Sure, I mean, you knew it was something you wanted to do. It's something you do every day. But your mind was somewhere else and you did it and you could be thankful that you did it and the people you prayed for were thankful you did. But there really wasn't much earnestness. There wasn't much fervency in it all. You take a little time to get on your face before God and thank Him and start remembering all His goodness. It will change how you present those requests to the Lord. It will add to the fervency. It really will. So those are some good things. That's why we do this. We do it because we fulfill a command of God. It's His will. It's an acceptable sacrifice to God because He knows how hard it can be sometimes. It's a testimony of God to the heathen and a great way to let them know what God's doing in your life. A great testimony to each other, such an encouragement how God's ministering in the congregation. And it's an interest to God in prayer. I think thanksgiving is something that's very commendable, don't you? Amen. Father, thank You so much for an opportunity to see these things from the words of God. I ask You, please, to help us tonight to be more thankful and to have learned something from this where we have an expectation and an anticipation of what Thanksgiving actually does. And as we remember this tomorrow as a family or among friends or just with You, we pray, Heavenly Father, that our hearts will be lifted in praise, and that You will be delighted with that thanksgiving that comes forth from our hearts and our lips. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.